Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning. Welcome to First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake, the church that we're always seeking to know God, to love God, and to serve God. I am Pastor Lynn, your associate pastor, and our worship leaders today are Kelly Myers and Carol Kapuska. So whether you are joining us in person or online, we are really glad you're here. And if it happens to be your first Sunday or one of your first Sundays with us, we want you to know that we have a really nice gift bag for you. And the way to, if you didn't receive one on your way in, the way to get one is just to go into the coffee hour space. And at the far side, there is a welcome desk, and that's where we keep them. And there will be a friendly person. Today it's Deanne Ramos who's there, who will share a bag with you and a lot of information and help you to meet some friendly people. So this week and next week, we are celebrating Earth Day when we recall what God said in the very beginning about creation. He said, "It is very good, very good." I invite you to complete the connection cards that you'll find in your bulletin to let us know you're here, to find things to sign up for, and if there are any children still in the sanctuary, you're of course welcome to stay here and worship with your family, but you're also welcome to just head on downstairs to the Sunday school. If you just go right down the elevator, mom or dad, if it's your first time, go along, and at the down the elevator to your right, and you will find fun Sunday school classes. And now we do have a few announcements, and my first announcement, you can blame this on Pastor Lindsay. She came to me and she said, not exactly, but almost, "Lynn, I want you to share a bathroom moment." So there we go. The bathroom moment is this. Unfortunately, our beautiful new bathrooms are having an earthy problem today. And so those two new ones are not available. But on the main floor, there is one single-person restroom that's right by Pastor Lindsay's office, and then there's a secret one that we're going to tell you about right now, and that's in the choir room, and you're allowed to go in and use that one, too. So those are on this floor, and then if you go down the elevator, right near the elevator, there are beautiful large restrooms that are also available. So just so you know. We didn't really do this in honor of Earth Day. All right. I do want to let you know that we have a grief group. We call it Journey Through Grief, and I really like that title. It's beginning on Tuesday, and it's in the evening, 6:30 to 8. We only have a few spots left, but we do have a few spots left. If you need and would like to gather to remember your loved one who you lost, to learn a little bit more about grief, to share feelings and faith with others who are also grieving, this will be a place that will have great meaning for you. You can sign up on the connection card or speak to Deacon Loretta or to me today. Then I want to let you know about a book group. It's called the Unclobber Book Study. Pastor John's going to be leading it, and Unclobber is the name of the book. It's about Bible passages regarding human sexuality that have been misused in hurtful ways to clobber people. And so we want to talk about unclobbering. You can get a copy of the book in the bookstore that's in the library, and you can sign up on the connection card or online. Next week, plan to come here to help host the Fish and Loaves community meal. We do things like setting the table at 3:30, then serving food, washing dishes. You can make a big difference in somebody's life by doing those things that we all know how to do. But the most important thing to do if you go is to sit with the people and talk with them. So put it on your calendar, and it's on April 26th, and see if you can come. Then, next Sunday, how many of you have a pet? Let's see how many we got. All right, quite a few, but not everybody. Well, next Sunday at 1 o'clock, as part of our Earth Day remembrances and celebrations, we're going to do a blessing of the animals. And so you can bring your pet at 1 o'clock, and we will have a worship service that will be beautiful. It will be outside by the lake, and I hope it'll be warmer by then. Yeah, it's supposed to be warmer again by then. And every single pet will be individually offered a blessing. So bring them. Put them, if they're more comfortable having a crate, that's a good idea. But if they're calm and happy around other animals, just on a leash, and that'll all be good. All right. With all of that, I would like to invite you to stand for our opening hymn, I Sing the Mighty Power of God, number 152 in the hymnal.
Please join me in the responsive prayer this morning. Almighty Creator, we ask for your healing hand to touch our planet. Restore the lands, waters, and skies that have been harmed by our actions. We pray for all wildlife. Help us to preserve their habitats and ensure their survival. Lord, we lift up our oceans to you. Heal the polluted waters and restore marine life that has been harmed, and teach us to protect our seas. We pray for the restoration of our forests. Help us to plant trees and protect these vital ecosystems. Lord God, guide us in making choices that honor and protect the earth. May our efforts bring new love. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you for that beautiful music this morning. This morning we have three scripture readings. The first is from Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. The second reading is from Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. And to the man he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree, about which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken. You are dust, and to dust you shall return. And the third reading is from Romans chapter 8, verses 19 through 23. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its enslavement to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning together as it suffers together the pains of labor. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, church. I'm really enjoying being in worship with you this morning, to hear our beautiful choir, to fellowship with one another before service, to meet some new people, to welcome you in. I am really glad to be with you in worship this morning. I'm Lindsay Hall, and I'm one of the clergy that serves the congregation alongside Pastor Lynn and Deacon Loretta and Pastor Hazel and Pastor John and Deacon Cora and amazing laity of volunteers and servant leaders. God is doing beautiful things in this space and in this time and in our community around the world, and it is a joy to be a part of it with you as we serve Christ. We are thinking on this sermon series, God called it very good, very good. Let's think on that this morning. We're going to begin our time in prayer. Oh, most loving Creator, Creator of heaven, Creator of earth, Creator of all that we see, we thank you for the gift of life, for the gift of creation, for the gift of Scripture that helps us to know you and to discover who you are and how you're acting in our life yet again this morning. I give you thanks for a space to gather and worship and praise. And as we hear the Scriptures, as we hear the songs this morning, as we take time to worship, to praise, to connect with you and one another, we pray that your Spirit may be felt. Lord, whatever it is we are walking in this morning, holding or carrying, help us to set it down for just a moment and to find rest in you. Help us to lay down the burden and the hardship or the thing that is distracting us, and help us to find strength and renewed spirit and experience your grace in a profound and a new way this morning. Lord, may you speak to me and through me this morning. May the words of my mouth, may the meditations of our hearts, may it be pleasing in your sight. You, God, who are our rock and our redeemer, you, God, who call us your beautiful, beloved children. Amen. We don't have to look very hard to see spring is in full bloom. If you've gotten your allergy medicine out, you know it is in full bloom. From the daffodils to the tulips to the budding trees to the grass turning so green because of all of this rain we've had and all the allergy season around us. Or maybe it's the birds that are starting to chirp at 5:23 in the morning when they wake you up, or the rising of the sun coming a little earlier, or the sunset going out, staying up a little bit longer. Or maybe you've noticed children. Do you have children in your neighborhood? Have you seen the bikes out or the scooters? Perhaps there's more dog walking going on. And these warm days that kind of keep bouncing back and forth a little bit, These warm days are going to quickly turn into some summer fun, and we have this glorious Michigan weather all around us. It makes me sing. It makes me think of all things bright and beautiful. The choir sang that this morning. I didn't know that was going to be in your song. All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small. Join me. All things bright and wonderful, the Lord God made them all. The Lord God did make them all. What is your favorite part of creation this time of year? I remember being at a former parsonage, and we had this beautiful tree. I'm not an arborist by any means. And we had this beautiful tree next to the parsonage, and our family called it the Lorax tree because it was bright and it was beautiful creation, fuchsia-colored tree. What's your favorite part of creation this time of year? Where do you like to go and wander to connect with God in nature? Is it to our beautiful Great Lakes? Is it up north to see a sunrise or a sunset? Is it to the beaches of Florida? I know we have a bunch of snowbirds that are back. Is it the cornfields of Nebraska? Is it a national park? Where do you go? Where do you see God, and where is your breath taken away? I'm going to have you play a little this morning. I'm going to invite you to turn to a person next to you, and I want you to share your name. Even if you think they know your name, and vice versa, I want you to share, what is your favorite part of God's creation this time of year? And where do you love to go to see God's beauty? Okay, go ahead. Things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all. I see God's creation all around, and I know you do too. You are deep in sharing. About a year and a half ago, John and I and the kids, we took a fun vacation. It was a bucket list item for me. We went to the Grand Canyon. I've so wanted to go to Grand Canyon my entire life long. Have you been there before? If not, I hope it's on your bucket list. And getting off the plane in Arizona, I was captivated by these most amazing cactuses in all sorts of different shapes. You know what I'm talking about, the goalpost cactuses. And off we went and headed to the Grand Canyon, and if you have been there, when you pull up, it is breathtakingly beautiful, isn't it? After a couple of days of hiking down into the canyon and thinking, why didn't we schedule the mule rides? That would have been very smart. After exploring the canyon and walking the rim and seeing God's beauty go on and on and on for miles, we took another adventure, and we went hiking, and we found ourselves heading over to Zion National Park. Oh, I thought the Grand Canyon was gorgeous. But Zion National Park, I think, for me, is the most beautiful place on earth. Hiking through that park, there are beautiful tall cliffs on each side, and the valley, and there's the water below, and you walk the trails, and you're hiking along, seeing these cactuses, and pretty soon you discover a beautiful little waterfall and rocks to climb upon and plenty of adventures. God's beauty is all around. And I could feel God whisper in my ear, "Be still and know that I am God." Isn't God's creation splendid and tremendous and magnificent? And we can think about God making all of that great creation back to the Genesis narrative from chapter 1 of Scripture. All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all. There's plenty of moments that I've seen God's creation. Particularly, I was fascinated by God's creation when I was fortunate to live in Hawaii for a couple of years. From 2007 into 2009, I was a young adult missionary at the United Methodist Church. We still have this program. Maybe you know some young people that would want to do it too. I served there for 2 years at the Susanna Wesley Community Center, working with kids 5 years of age through seniors in high schools and an after-school program. Y'all know I love kids, right? And youth, you know that. That's not a surprise. Part of that work was to care for the kids and to be a part of that after-school program. But then I was fortunate to explore the island of Oahu. Have you been to Hawaii before or seen a picture of Hawaii? It is beautiful. Incredible sunsets and coral reefs and waves and sun and sand and beauty of creation. But it's not just a beautiful place to live. There is a beautiful relationship I learned about the people and the land. A beautifully deep spiritual connection between the people and the land. It's called Aloha Aina, the love of the land. Aloha Aina. It means the love of the land, and it's part of the native Hawaiian culture and practice. It's a deeply part of the culture to nurture the land, to care for the land, and to understand that there's sort of like a reciprocal relationship back and forth. Aloha Aina. That we're to be stewards of the earth, caretakers of God's creation. And when we are then that caretaker, that steward, there's another term, malama aina, where we become a good steward. Not just a relationship, but a good steward of that land. I loved seeing the land animals, and I loved seeing caring for creation. It was often, you could often see lots of volunteer groups on Saturday mornings out and about picking up trash. And wrappers and things that had made their way outside of the trash can so that it didn't make its way into the beautiful oceans. There was a deep love, there still is a deep love of caring for the plants and the animals and the soil and a deep spiritual sense of respect and honoring. And it was quite often that volunteer groups, and myself included, would be out picking up trash, not just to make Waikiki Beach look great for the tourists, but to care for Mother Earth. Deeply rooted in the Polynesian Hawaiian culture, that was a part of the culture and the community, but so is it deeply rooted in the stories of creation. All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all. When we come to the scripture, the first Genesis and Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, we discover that there are two creation stories. There's the creation story of God making everything in 6 days and then remembering to rest on that seventh day and taking the break. And we discover that first creation narrative. And time again, as God is creating light and sand and soil and animals and people, God keeps blessing it and calling it what? Good, calling it good. We discover another creation narrative, a different style, a different type of writing type that's presented, a creation of Adam and Eve in a different sort of way, and yet God is still calling it and blessing it good, good. But the truth is, we go along for a while, and then we sort of screw up, don't we? Have you caught on to this pattern of humanity? We're good for a while, but then we do sometimes screw up for a while. We don't always get it right. There are times in which we have deeply polluted Mother Earth, harmed Mother Nature, spoiled the air and the water and the soil. It's important to think about what are the ways in which we can reverse the effects that we have done and the harm and the damage that's been done. Have you heard of the Great Pacific Garbage Patch? Yeah, Google it if you haven't. The Great Pacific Garbage Patch, it's the largest accumulation of ocean plastic in the world, and it's located not too far between California and Hawaii. The Great Pacific Garbage Patch, it covers an estimated surface area of 1.6 million square kilometers, which is about the size of Texas times two. Can you imagine? A large floating pile of plastic, rubble, and garbage and trash hovering between California and our dear Hawaiian islands, and it's this thing that's floating two Texases in size. And the more we learn from science and technology, the more we can learn about the importance of caring from creation, not just the scripture narrative that calls us and invites us that to do so theologically, not just from our Hawaiian traditions that invites us in the deep spiritual practice of caring for creation, but the more we learn from science and technology, the more we learn about the importance of caring for creation and righting some wrongs before it's perhaps too late. You know us, United Methodists, we have a method and a process for everything. We've even outlined something called the social principles, which is a way in which we share how are United Methodists supposed to respond on a variety, perhaps, of social issues. How does our faith invite us to be present in the world around us? This is the second thing I'd invite you to. So right, Google and search out the Great Garbage Pile. I'd also invite you to Google and search out something called the United Methodist Social Principles. And in it, there's an opportunity and a call for us to care for creation, to advocate for justice and to change. And we can do those very great short-term things like beach cleanups on Waikiki Beach, that's so important, or in our own neighborhoods. But then the United Methodists invite us to think about what are those environmental justice issues we might be able to engage. Google it. I want you to read that section of the social principles this week. And why? Why are we a part of doing this great work? Why at this time? Well, coming up on the 22nd, when is the 22nd? Today's the 19th. 19, 21, 22. On Wednesday, we're going to be celebrating Earth Day. This is the 56th year of celebrating Earth Day. It started back April 22nd, 1970. To care for creation, folks stepped up in the United States and Earth Day spread and it became a greater big movement, but you're invited to do something. All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all. I believe we have a slide, an invitation. There's an Earth Day cleanup that we want to invite you to be a part of. Our Brighton campus, at first glance, looks incredibly beautiful, and it is. And yet, when you start to get into the weeds and the trees, you're going to notice small pieces of trash here and there that need to make their way from your hand, from our hand, and into a trash bag and tucked away. And the same thing at our Whitmore Lake campus, and as well as the great trail that the trail name is escaping me right now. It will come back to me. Between here and Whitmore Lake. And so you're invited to put on your comfortable sneakers and perhaps some work gloves and to join us at one of our campuses or along the path today at 1 o'clock to help care for God's beautiful creation. To be a part of the Aloha Aina, the caring for the land. To be a part of stewarding it as God invites us to do so as we read in chapter 1 and chapter 2 of Genesis. And then I'd invite you to think about something else that you might do. For copyright purposes, I'm not able to read this book this morning because I don't have permission from the author, but there's this great book called Miss Rumphius. The story of a woman, a little girl that grows up and she is told by her grandfather that she's supposed to do some things to make this world more beautiful. And she discovers that if she plants these lupine flowers, she makes the world more beautiful, transforming it through reaching into her pockets and tossing out these seeds. She makes the world around her all the more beautiful. And that's our call and our invitation, to seek to do no harm as people of faith, but also to look for ways to do good in this world. I'm going to totally let you look at these books at the end of worship. And another really great kids' book that I have is called Things That I Can Do to Help My World. Oh, this is a good one for visiting with young people, reminding us to turn off those water faucets, reminding us to recycle, reminding us to pick up trash, reminding us to unplug the TV when we're not using it. There are things, big and small, maybe even discovering and checking out solar panels, all sorts of ways that we can care for God's world. Let us pray. From the words of Philip J. Brooks, he says, and we pray, O gracious and loving God, your voice rose out of darkness and brought forth light, and in your glory you created the heavens and the earth, and you filled it with life. You brought forth trees and flowers and fruits and vegetation from the ground and shaped every creature that draws breath. You made us in your own image, and you gave us the ability to understand and contemplate the miracles of your creation. And now help us, Creator, to be good caretakers of this wonderful planet. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
So my favorite part of spring is watching the mother and father animals come strutting out with their baby animals, the fuzziness of them, the downy feathers that are on them, and just to see them just kind of strut with their animals behind them and showing them off. I also love the buds coming out, the flowers, the colors, all of that stuff. And I feel this is kind of ironic, though, because all of my family, my mom, dad, my sister, were all born, their birthdays are in the fall, winter, and they're all the gardeners, all of the tenders of the land. And I am born in the spring, and I can probably kill a plant, and so my birthday was last Thursday, and my mom gives me seeds to plant. I got a mystery Amazon package with seeds in it. I was like, who is sending me? You people must know that you give me a plant, you have me try to germinate seeds. I can look directly at them and sing and do all the things that people tell me to do. I can water them, giving them the side eye. Whatever I try to do, I will kill them. I am not a person that can flourish, that can tend to the ground and have things grow. Yeah, I was born in the spring. I love all things that are new. So I feel that there is something that God is trying to tell me. I also find it interesting reading through the passages. The part that I like is, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. So regardless of my lack of skill, I am still part of the earth, and I will return to that. And I also think that part of the season that I love is that it can still be bitter cold with snow on the ground, and there are still shoots of greenness that are trying to pop out. There can be leaves and mud and every possible thing on the ground, and there are still things that are trying to push their way through, and they're successful. And I feel like that is a statement on my life, on all of our lives, that we cannot be held down, that you can put whatever you want on top of us, you can cover us up, you can make it cold, you can make the sun go away for a part of the year, and we, by golly, are still going to push through and make it to the sunlight. And that is what my prayer is all about. Join me in prayer. Lord of all creation, today we say our prayer with a focus of what you have created and left in our hands to be stewards. God, in your glory, we raise our thoughts to you to fill us up, to ease our fears, to soothe our minds, and start our week by grounding ourselves using you. We use this term grounding to describe getting settled in our surroundings, or to focus ourselves by simplifying with just the literal ground, where our feet are at. We praise you for creating such simple things like grass, dirt, and flowers. We thank you for these gifts and for those that are gifted with the ability to tend to them. But we know that we have damaged this wonderful earth that you have provided. While it may be through a lack of awareness, we still ask that you forgive us our actions. Help us to find ways to repair and renew your resources so that we can rise from our mistakes. Help us to make it a mission in our lives to seek small or big ways that we can make a difference, recycling or reusing. We always seem to be praying for ways to rectify errors, but Lord, we also pray that we may just not do damage to begin with, that we may tread lighter on earth. Instead of generating trash for landfills, maybe using multi-use containers. Instead of being lavish in our use of our resources, we find ways to live small and use lightly. Because of advancements in society and technology, we enjoy more than ever the ability to experience the world beyond our hometowns. But that means that we can now see the drought and damage that is beyond as well. That the damage is in the farthest corners of your creation, and that we should not ignore. We pray earnestly for means to help in our personal plots of land, but also across the globe. Lord, we cry out for help for those that are in need, that are hurting mentally or physically, help for those that are in leadership positions and making very important decisions that affect the resources on earth. Help those that are picking up the pieces after a disaster in life or just needing a connection to someone larger than themselves. We ask that you provide for them in these times. We pray for those affected by the flooding, that they may be protected and provided for as well. Help to bring them resources and ease their anxiety as waters rise over dams and roads, where waters fill their houses. Let us think of ourselves and others that are in need and send them our prayers for whatever it is that they may need. We send our prayer quilts and special prayers of healing this week to Sonia and Mandy. May they find comfort in knowing that they are surrounded in prayer from this congregation. And now let's spend a moment in our own personal prayers. And now let's join our voices together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I'd like to invite our ushers to come forward to receive our tithes and offerings. And I want to tell you about something about nature that is a way that I find God. You know, when I'm feeling worried, I sometimes go outside late at night and I look up at the sky. And on a clear night, I experience the beauty of that star-filled sky, and I feel comforted. There's something about seeing God's continuing and mysterious presence through those stars, the God who was and who is and who always will be. But more importantly, on a cloudy night, and I go out there, I remember that the stars are still there, even though I cannot see them. And even in the daylight, they are still there, beaming their light. Even though I cannot see them, I recall them, and I feel comforted. And so in gratitude for the love of God, we share our offerings, not only our financial resources, but also we share those sparks of God's love, like the bits of light from the stars, and they shine through each of us to offer a glimpse of hope in a worried world.
Let us pray. Lord God of all creation, we bring our offerings in response to what you have first given us. Bless these offerings we bring and use them to help us become better stewards of your earth. In your name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
God turns it over into our hands also to be stewards and caretakers of this beautiful world. So now may you go forth with love of God in your hearts, the peace of Jesus with you, and the power of the Holy Spirit filling you and helping you and empowering you to go forth to make this world more beautiful in Jesus' name. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.